Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hear it for the boys. College edition. I'm Alex.
Boy. I'm College Justin.
I'm Pete. And we are going to be talking about the first episode of Gen V, the spinoff of The Boys. This is live on Prime Video right now. Episode one, God You. If you haven't checked it out on Prime Video, go check it out. It's live now. It's awesome. Or maybe it's not. I guess we'll talk about it in a second.
That's what we're going to talk about. And so when we're talking about Gen V, we are our college selves. That's what we're doing for this, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I should be drunker, like, sort of like kind of feeling myself out. Like I'm feeling what I'm interested in. And
yeah.
I'm coming in very interested in being a math major, but very quickly realizing that's stupid.
Oh, same, but for chemistry. Chemistry major, switch to the much more lucrative theater.
Ooh, yeah, that's working out real well for both of us. The first episode of Gen V, to give you a brief summary of the plot, we are mostly following a character named Marie. She has blood powers. This is, by the way, set very much in the world of The Boys. It is post season three. Vought Tower has been destroyed after the fight with Soldier Boy, so we're picking up after that. This is a little bit side to that, but we're still getting some notes there as we follow these college kids who are the first generation who know that their parents purposefully gave them powers using Compound V. They were not born with powers. They are not naturally superheroes. They all know this. They're all aware of this.
It's a classic, maybe she's born with it, maybe it's Maybelline situation. Oh,
yeah, that comes out a lot. They're always wearing Maybelline, and they're like, it's strong enough for a man, but pH balance for a woman.
That's exactly right. That's the same thing. We're all talking about the same thing. Our brains are, by the way, just like a lot of the characters in this, our brains are broken by modern living.
100%.
That's what I mean when we're being college people.
So Marie is a character who had a very, and we'll talk about this more in a second, but sort of an X-Men origin. She has these blood powers, ended up killing her parents, ended up in the Red River Institute, which we know very well from the previous season of The Boys. Ultimately ends up going to Godalkin University, which is a place that trains superheroes to potentially be the Seven, but also potentially to be professional actors and on Dancing with the Stars and Riverdale and other shows like that.
Yeah, Riverdale! Shout out to Riverdale.
We meet a bunch of the characters that go to this university that are also in her class, including her roommate, Emma. We also meet Golden Boy, who is the poster boy, literally, for the university. And by the end of the episode, big spoilers here. Again, we're getting into spoilers. Something weird is going on at this university involving a facility called the Woods. Golden Boy goes crazy, kills the head of the university, explodes himself, and we leave with a classic everybody covered in blood moment. Now, Pete, I know you raised your hand, but before we get to whatever your specific objection or point is, I do want to ask, you talked about a lot of anticipation on the previous episode for this in terms of what we were expecting, what we were hoping from this. We obviously had Diabolical, the animated spinoff, but this is a very different thing. This is a very direct live-action spinoff of The Boys. We love The Boys. The Boys is a huge hit. Do you feel like this measured up? Pete, what's your take?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say, like, you know, we talked about that Riverdale shout-out. Do you think they did enough of applause for applause? Because I was like, Riverdale, yeah! And then they started talking again. I was like, I'm not done cheering for Riverdale first. Yeah, Can you give me a little bit of a pause?
Honestly, they needed to give a little longer pause so I could figure out which cast member of Riverdale had superpowers.
We all know Cheryl.
They did a whole season of it.
That's true.
The Boys universe, if you remember. Yeah. Riverdale.
Yes. But what did you guys think? Justin?
There's a button on your remote, Pete, that it sounds like applause, but it's pause. And then you can do whatever you want.
You can pause the app with the applause button.
Whoa.
Let's just pause for a second here and really understand what we're talking about. Again, our brains are broken in general.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Justin, since Pete mainly wanted to talk about that, what was your take on this episode?
I thought this was great. This is it hits the marks of a boys episode without feeling like it's just doing it again. It doesn't feel formulaic, but it feels like it hits all the spots. I'm like, yep, that's the boys. There's a dick. There's a very clear a weird penis right there.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
And the blood, what is the blood budget in general? Are they just stocking up at all times? Because it's a signature. It's a signature move. And this is just super Saved by the Bell, the college years, and I'm here for it.
Pete, what about you? What was your take on the episode?
Well, the problem I had with it was, first off, it was straight up. It felt like the boys because you had the weird sexual stuff. There's the over the top.
That stuff's part of it. It's from the comic to the TV show to this show.
Yeah.
If you are like, that catches me off guard. I'm like, haven't you been reading this for years?
No, it's not caught off guard. But I did. What was tough was a lot of the times with the boys, you know, like, okay, I'm rooting for this guy who's kind of like, you know, his girlfriend exploded in front of him and we're rooting for him. With Bloody Mary, she murdered her parents. So
Bloody Marie.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, she murdered her parents. So you're kind of like, I don't know. Am I rooting for the Darth Vader of, like, you know what I mean? So it was
an accident
for me to get into it because I was like, I know that all soups are assholes. So they're going to school to be soups. So I'm like, this is a horrible choice and you're going to regret this as soon as you realize what's involved. So I didn't know who to root for. I didn't know what, you know what I mean? So it was like taking place in the boys' universe, but we know too much. So I was kind of like, oh God, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like I liked a lot of it, but I wasn't like, this is awesome. You know what I mean?
Pete, when we were on that road trip together as a group with some other friends and you hit that drifter and killed him and that we didn't blame you, even though he came back and killed half of our group so far.
Yeah.
It's Who's true. Next?
Is this, I don't know. I know what you did last summer. What are you doing here?
I mean, I guess there's coincidences, but that's our real life that I'm talking about.
Oh,
Alex. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were talking about our real life. I think I'm halfway between you guys. I appreciated how hard this went into the boys' universe. You know,
because it went hard.
Well, it did. I think when we heard that there were going to be guest appearances, it felt like it was going to be lip service. It was not. It 100% was not. We start off with this soup center thing that feels straight out of the boys, with A-Train graduating from Godalkin University and getting recruited by the Seven. Feels completely consistent. We get a shot of Madeline Stillwell, who we haven't seen in a while.
Remember
that
her?
Was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels omnipresent that this is part of this world. It doesn't, again, like, not to use the same phrase, but it doesn't feel like a lip service spinoff where that joke, I think we were talking about this in the last episode, that joke where they have the Critic Simpsons crossover where Critic was like, maybe you could visit my show sometimes. And they're like, I don't think that's going to happen. This doesn't feel like that at all. This feels like they put care into it. They put thought into it. Like, what is an actual extension of this world they're going to create? That's great. I think to Pete's point, I like the characters, but I didn't instantly love any of the characters in the same way I did with the boys. And I also think the pace is like 5% slower. It's not, it still moves very well. I thought for a pilot, it very efficiently goes through setting up the characters, who they are, what their wants, what their needs are, how they relate to each other, why they relate to each other, why they're going to ultimately, due to the incident that happens at the end, have to stick together. But at the same time, there was a little bit of the sharpness of the boys that I was missing there. So enjoyed it, had a good time watching it, but it's like a little bit of a step down, not a huge step down, but a little bit of a step down for me.
It's interesting. I think the story is just, there's just more crammed in here maybe than I feel like the boys was able to sort of really step us into the world from an outsider. But it's a different type of story because we're already, all these characters are already inside the world. and we are inside the world. So that this show has to sort of, it's less about walking us into it, more like one step at a time, and more like sort of carving away the stuff that we won't be touching by show and still showing us the stuff that we will, like A-Train and all that stuff as our way into it. So I didn't mind that at all. And I just feel like this team, Eric Kripke and his team, are just so good at making television. They the fights look good. You know, I don't know how this budget compares to others, but like they use it. It feels like it's all on the screen there. I don't see the seams like a lot of other superhero shows out there.
Totally agree with that. I think the, you know, we talked a lot about with The Boys, like you're saying, Justin, about how clearly a lot of it is CGI. Clearly a lot of it is created later. Like I'm thinking specifically of the stadium scenes and the combat arena later in the episode where it's clear a ton of that was done in post, but it looks so good and it's so well done.
They didn't
done.
Light that guy on fire?
No, they didn't light the guy on fire. They didn't tear the other guy's arms off or anything like that.
But he grew him back.
In all seriousness, he 100% could grow him back. Most extras can do that.
That's why they're called extras.
Exactly, because they got extra limbs.
Hey, these arms are great, but the director wants the smaller ones you have, so tear them up.
No problem. Yeah, SAG is – it's called SAG because their arms sag off.
That's exactly right. They're on strike for having to do that less. They want to be able to use fewer arms.
Yeah, that's what take arms means. We can keep going on this, I guess. The
Definitely.
Stadium, though. Like, the stadium is probably mostly not real, and it's mostly CGI'd, but like – like a lot of the stuff that they do with The Boys, it looks very good. The media commentary and the packages that they put together are better than anybody does. There was even, I'll call out something that initially I was like, I don't know about this. This isn't working for me. And then I think they did very well. So we meet Marie's roommate, Emma, and her power is to get small. We find out later, which we should probably talk about in a moment. We find out that it's because she throws up that she is able to become small, but we meet her filming a video where she's fighting a gerbil, I believe her gerbil, David Caruso. And initially I was like, this is a very stupid thing, but it stood out to me because they're so good and so smart about this stuff. It was a horizontal video. And I was like, she wouldn't do that. She'd be doing a vertical video. She'd be doing it for like TikTok or something. But she is she very specifically states she's trying to monetize stuff for YouTube. And I was like, oh, they thought about this. They thought about why she's doing this video. We also find out that she is a legacy talent. She clearly had like some show where she played a character called Little Cricket or something like that. So again, all of that tracks. It makes sense. So even though it initially stood out to me, I think they really think through this stuff in a way that other shows do not.
The monetization on YouTube is way better than on TikTok. So you got to go to YouTube in her case.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's thought through from top to bottom. And I think that's a real difference maker as opposed to shows like, say, in the Marvel universe. Those shows you can feel that they're rushed and are a little underbaked. And this feels like, even if it isn't paced exactly how you want or had too many very large penises, like maybe Pete didn't like, it still is very crafted in that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. Pete, if you could have a tiny girl ride on your dick, what would you do? Would you do that, Pete?
Well, I mean, you know, they set this up as this.
He
kind
said
of like
yes. He said yes.
Thing.
That's
well,
the.
He said, well, yeah, Ed, we cut the podcast there.
And that's where we cut him out. That's Pete's answer's been finished.
I mean, it's a rough situation because you have this kind of like freshman college kind of situation. Who's going to hook up with who? And this guy says he's a fan, and then it kind of like convinces her to do it, which is awful. And then you learn about how she does it, and that's even more awful. It is kind of hilarious her talking to him while it's going on was funny, and her punching his balls was funny. So I was at least happy about that, but it was kind of a rough situation to get put through.
Well, you're done with your sentence. Okay. The thing that I wanted to mention earlier that I was getting at with the whole Marie thing, with the throwing up thing, that I do think is very interesting about the show and very different about The Boys is they're leaning into superpowers as a metaphor for, I don't know if this is the best way of phrasing it, but personal issues. Like,
yeah,
with Emma, clearly they're leaning into bulimia here, or at least that's something that they're going to potentially be getting towards. With Marie, it's 100% self-harm because she has these blood powers. And we even get this scene towards the end of the episode where she's frustrated and upset because she's going to be not evicted.
Expelled.
Expelled, thank you. From college, and she ends up cutting her hand and attacking the trash cans with her blood powers. But, like, I think that's interesting. Like, we've certainly had superpowers stand in for different things in certain ways of The Boys, but that's not the focus there. Here, using that for the college-based setting for these younger characters, I think they start to approach it in this episode, but it's a very palpable and potentially fruitful thing that they could follow over the course of the series.
Well, and I think, like, The Boys is one of the best satires of our modern culture on TV, and I think this show feels like it's going specifically at fame. That's why I think we notice the touches of, like, you can get a job in acting. This is, like, almost like the school is an acting school, except plus soups. And it feels like the metaphor they're going is, like, no matter how famous you get, the issues you have will only get exacerbated in a lot of cases. That's why you see so much celebrity, like, fall from grace. And I think that's what they're using here. While the main series touches on other things, goes into politics way more, and there's just nature of how our society functions, fascism. This the focus here, I think, is really nice, actually, and it makes for more complicated characters that we have more time to sit with.
It also gets towards something that I think I expressed in the previous episode I was a little worried about, is that college-based shows struggle a little bit. Like, high school shows excel because you've got these big emotions, you've got these big touchstones, you've got first love, you've got prom, you've got graduation, etc. College, you don't necessarily have those touchstones in the same way. So finding the outlet here of these issues that do become present and you do discuss in different ways through college, that's great. I think that's really smart. And obviously it's harder to watch. Like, it feels like a little bit more of a serious show in a certain way and a little less of a satirical show. But I don't know, on that end, it works for me.
Well, and I was joking about, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I feel like this show has a little bit of that, like, teen or young person horror to it, where we have a central mystery we're going to be following here. It's a little less just character plot driven than it is like, oh, they have to figure out this very specific problem that's been set up in the first episode, like I Know What You Did Last Summer or Final Destination or anything like that.
Yeah, those are the two movies I would think about in terms of people who have problems that they have to solve.
Yeah. Well, they have one major problem in both of those movies. But that's, I mean that for real, though. This show is, they're going to have one problem they have to solve, as opposed to...
And it is a horror problem, clearly. Like, we get to see this guy this kid who is running away, is stopped by Marie, is also stopped by, I'm blanking on the name of Chaz Perdomo's character, Andre, and ultimately is taken back to, which I was very surprised that we got right off of the first episode.
The woods.
We find out it's this facility that they're being held in for some unknown reason, presumably to be experimented on or something like that. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that in the first episode, because I thought that's the sort of thing, like, you could drag out an entire season. It says to me that they're going to dive right into it and go pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess this Boys spinoff is going to go pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
crazy.
So.
Huh. Yeah. Who saw that coming? Weird. I love some small touches, the kid watching the deep porno on the computer, which was very fun. Reference to the David Caruso movie Jade, which feels like someone dared them to put in the show. I was like, that's about as arch a ref as you're going to get.
Can we talk about characters for a second, just in terms of what you think about them? Like, I know I said that I didn't spark to them quite as immediately as the Boys characters, but I do... There's two characters in particular that I think I was drawn to. We haven't talked about the fact that there's a mini Chilling Adventures of Sabrina reunion in the show.
Yeah.
We've got Jazz Sinclair playing Marie. We've got Chance Perdomo as playing Andre. So yeah. Even though they're different characters, it's great seeing them back on screen together, and it's a joy seeing them together. So definitely, like, I've seen them before, so I'm drawn to them. But what did you guys think about Emma, the roommate? We get to spend a lot of time with her this episode.
They don't let us see a lot of the relationships like solidify. Mm-hmm. So I like the little sort of proto beginnings we get with all of these. And Emma seems like the way they're going into the seriousness of her and then doggling back to her just being fun and funny, I think is really cool.
Did you guys watch Wednesday on Netflix?
Yep.
Yeah, I know this isn't the first time they did it, but yeah, Emma reminds me a lot of Wednesday's roommate on Netflix.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like being the bubbly one to the grimmer, more serious one, which again is a trope, but that was fun. We also get to meet the one thing that was a little disappointed to me cast wise. I don't know if you guys watch Teenage Bounty Hunters, but Maddie Phillips, phenomenal on that show. So funny, so good. She plays Kate, who is Golden Boy's girlfriend, and she just didn't get a lot to do this episode. I want to see more of her going forward.
Well, I think we are in the sort of little montage we get
like
at the end.
See a lot of her, yeah.
Her power, which we should say their powers too. She can sort of coerce people, right?
She's got gloves.
Yes, she's got gloves. I like that. Actually, this gets to something else. I'll talk about that in a second. Just to finish up, like the main characters that we're getting, we also get Jordan Lee, who seems to be a non-binary character, who also is invulnerable at the same time, potentially.
Seems like it, yeah.
Well, and their powers, I don't really understand yet. I can't tell if the gender swapping is part of it, or if it is like a invulnerability and then a physical attack thing. Like, and it was funny, like we got to see a big fight. But we still don't know how the powers work. So I'm definitely curious about that.
It feels to me, this is just 100% speculation, but it feels to me like they came up with the idea of, ooh, let's have a non-binary character. Because again, getting back to those, excuse me to anybody who is non-binary, but like hot button issues in society, right. Like same sort of thing. Obviously it's not a negative issue. It's a positive issue, but it's something that they were like, ooh, what if we had this character who literally could change from female to male? And what would that be like? And then they're like, oh, that's not an offensive power at all. Like there's nothing you can do with that. So gave Jordan Lee invulnerability at the same time. So it almost feels like, this gets to the thing that I was going to talk about. The show feels very X-Men to me. And this to me feels like a secondary mutation type thing. Like when Emma Frost was like, I have my mind powers, but also I can turn into diamonds because that allows me to fight in fights at the same time.
You mean a logistical storytelling thing because they wanted the White Queen to fight? Yeah, and that may be. But I'm sure they're going to find, or they already have, a very specific metaphor that they're going to bring into this conversation. It feels like this isn't the type of show that just is like, yeah, let's do this. Like we found these ideas from the headlines and we're going to put them in the show. No, it feels like it is like they're meticulous in the way they craft them, and they wouldn't tackle something that they weren't ready to actually comment on.
That's fair. I do think visually it's really interesting how they're doing that in terms of the switch. Like they're doing some really good camera work. That cannot be easy in terms of switching from one actor to another. Justin, you do production stuff.
Yeah, you're a line producer.
As a director, it is very hard because you have to not only figure out your angle, you have to obviously when you're directing something, you have a shot list and you have it all planned out. But the way the camera has to move around a fight, which is something that you don't really get to, you can choreograph and use stand-ins or whatever, but when you're doing it, it's different. It's just going to be different. So like, it requires a lot of paying attention and a lot of like, oh, okay. So if you move this way, then the camera has to come this way. It's just like, you know, a lot of thinking has gone into that fight.
And that fight looked great. I know you said this earlier, Justin, but that was definitely something that I feel like is a hallmark of The Boys, just in terms of this is a really good looking superhero fight. That's a lot of fun. I like the fact that Marie and Andre were out of it, you know, that it was sort of happening around them. It was very tense, particularly that moment towards the end where Golden Boy comes out and you think maybe he's going to burn Andre and then he doesn't. Very well done.
Yeah, that hug was intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It sort of gave us, it showed that there's, that different people know different things and have dealt with this in different degrees, but we don't know in what way and how. Like, it was just a great showing but not telling, and giving us a little bit of a step into the mystery. Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, they did a great job of setting up that cock punch where it was like they were at the first arena and they were talking about his dick and balls and how
glorious. Right, the old lava dick.
And then, you know, that punch really came through and it was a real fun follow through.
I agree with you, Pete. That is a classic The Boys thing to have him be like, yeah, he has his power. He can turn flame. Oh, wouldn't that burn his clothes off? Of course it would. Okay, he's naked. Okay, well, then of course we have to punch him in the dick.
Yeah, and there was a fun moment where it was like, you know, maybe put some clothes on, you know, that kind of thing.
Let's talk about a little, I'm sure there's a lot more things to talk about, but why don't we talk about the ending? Because I thought this was a big, bold surprise at the end here to have Patrick Schwarzenegger of the Schwarzenegger dynasty, as well as Clancy Brown of the Brown dynasty.
Oh, yeah, Clancy.
Both die at the end of the first episode. I thought those were some wild, big swings that I was really impressed by.
Me too.
I was sad, but also impressive that, like, okay, nothing is safe. Yeah, I mean, you would see, like, okay, Clancy Brown's going to die that way. That makes sense. But the Golden Boy kind of exploding like that was kind of crazy. I was worried when we got the hug that that's when he was going to kind of try to do something. But then he floated up, and then I thought, like, oh, God, is he just going to, like, shut off his powers and then fall to his death?
That's what I thought. I thought that was going to happen.
And then it was like, no, he's going to kind of explode into a bloody fiery ball, which I was like, okay, that's
I'll throw out there. Bold. I think he wasn't anywhere near there, but somehow Huey also got covered in blood during that scene.
He was just drinking coffee somewhere. Oh, I was like, oh, come on.
No. Yeah.
Touring the campus in his capacity as whatever he's working in now. Well, I agree with you. It was like surprising, but then if you think like a character named Golden Boy on The Boys who will explode in the air with blood everywhere. I was like, wow, that's literally the most expected thing.
What do you think is going on at this point? I mean, I know it's very early and we don't have a lot of pieces of the mystery, but like we talked about, we get to see the woods or a piece of the woods. Is this facility? Something is going on with Golden Boy throughout the episode where he is having flashbacks to the woods, which ultimately leads to this moment where he whispers a secret to Andre and that explodes, as well as killing Clancy Brown's Brink. So what's your what are your theories here? What's happening? What's going on with the series?
Well, the thing is, we've sort of seen the plot both in The Boys and in other shows of like, oh, a facility where they're experimenting on people with powers. Oh, no. Like, it can't be that simple. I think it'll be something that's darker and worse, especially since the whole point of the show is like, well, everybody knows who has injected their kids with Compound V was experimenting on their kids. So it's like, it has to go further and be weirder or more horrifying. So I think it's going to be something very different.
What about you, Pete? Do you have any theories?
I just think, my theory is like this show is going to get more insane and more crazy than you think possible. And you thought this first episode was something, you know, wait till we see what we got next. I mean, the shit that went down in this episode was really impressive on a real fucked up level. So I'm real nervous about how this is all going to go down.
But it's also like, for all that we're saying, like, it's also reminded me a lot of Friday Night Lights, where it's like sets up these characters, big drama, big emotions, and then they're just going to bang into
You know, maybe it's been a long time since it's been Friday Night Lights. Was there any weird sex scenes where like somebody shrunk themselves to get somebody's dick?
I think Sarenson shrinks down a bunch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's always jumping on Coach is dead. I don't know.
Wow. Great memory and understanding of football.
Real quick.
Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah.
Certainly
Taylor Kitsch. There you go. Couple of other things I want to throw out here. I loved the joke. So they show a Godalkin University recruitment video. Yeah. And first of all, that whole thing, like we talked about a million times, this media package I thought was great and absolutely perfectly
well-timed.
Yeah, they
do great packages.
They do great packages.
But the joke at the end where they're talking about, like, you could be part of this legacy, and they show A-Train number one, Mave number one, the Deep number six, that made me laugh out loud. Perfect.
The Deep roasting is so good. I love it.
So good.
I wanted to highlight what I thought was a direct roast of WandaVision. You guys know what I'm talking about? A superhero show that references 70 years of television. Do you remember that line?
No.
Yeah, I do remember that line.
It was right before there was a Chicago Fire ref. It's when we were sort of learning the performing arts side of it and all that Dancing with the Stars stuff.
The like mirroring exercise that they were making fun of for the acting, like they were showing. It was pretty funny. I laughed.
I do love... hate is probably too strong, but I do love the idea that, like, they're like, we have this entire college. There is crime fighting and also acting, and that's pretty much it. That's it. And I love that because that makes sense for the world of the boys, but I hate it because I'm like, this isn't a college. That's not how a college works. Like, have some other disciplines there, please.
Also,
if you have these powers, why would you ever do anything else? You're there to be famous. And I think that's, and it also is the point at, like, fame, crime fighting, it's all like the same thing. And you're not there to just save lives. You're there to be famous if you're saving lives or what's the Q rating.
What was insane about, like, Marie being like, yo, I want to get into this. And they're like, you don't even have an Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, that's the level that they're working at versus what she's talking about. Also, I can't remember the name of the actress, but she was so great in The Boys, the redhead who has to do the PSA to
Carlos.
Ashley. Yeah. Oh man, so great seeing her.
That was a great framing also at the end to do her being like, I'm so sorry about everything that's been going on. Golden Boy exploded, but this is not what it's like.
But
why don't you check out
this college?
Why don't you
about?
Check out what's going to happen in the semester? Again, like, just a step up from what you have to do from this season on Gen V. Just very fun. Like, it's an extra level of thought that they put into everything.
I mean, the RA who is naked and the fact that they called that out was just such a fun bit.
Invisible RA is very fun in general. Yeah. That's enjoyable. That's a great recurring character that I hope they bring back a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I also...
Also, the post-racism world line was woof. I was like, oh.
That was very The Boys as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked, and this comes, I think, for The Boys as well. We've talked a lot about how, like, a lot of the characters of the Seven are irredeemable, but we still get sympathy for them anyway. And I think this is the same sort of thing where they're starting from a level of, like Chance Perdomo's character is a good example, Andre, where he seems like a rich dick who's on top of the world, but you still feel for him. And even when he is accidentally almost killing a lady at a club, you're still like, oh no, Chance Perdomo, what did you do? And
he's scared.
Hard. Yeah. I think it comes through in the performances, and they allow them to be kids in this situation. Same thing for Golden Boy, same thing for Matty Phillips' character. All of these characters, they're not as simple as, like, tropes. There's more going on there, and you can get a sense of that already in the first episode.
The only problem I had when it comes to that is, like, for plot, I feel like they undercut intelligence, where I feel like Marie, when she shows up, is like, you know, like, the cop is like, this person's on meth, and it's like, clearly this dude's not on meth, but, like, they, you know, like, it was the old kind of, like, so I was a little disappointed that she was so easily duped in that scenario that clearly wasn't what she thought it was, where I felt like we're undercutting the intelligence of a character for a plot of the TV show, where I just was like, I feel like this is a little bit of a miss here.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think what's going on with Marie is she just wants it so badly, and by it's being on the Seven. Like, that is her goal. So she is purposefully missing a lot of cues and missing a lot of things that she should not do or she should not know about, because she's so focused on this goal, this thing that she wants to get to. And to take a step back, I know I touched on this a little bit earlier, but like, Marie's origin is so X-Men to me. Getting your powers at puberty in your first period and accidentally killing your parents, that's like shot across the bow. I would see that in any classic Chris Claremont X-Men comic. And I think that's what we're getting here. Like, I think that's the vibe they're going for with these characters, is even the jerk characters, they feel to me a little bit like the Hellfire Club characters from back in the day in comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, they're jerks, they're rich jerks, but there's a level of pathos between them and underneath them at the same time.
The problem I have with Marie is like, okay, the first parent, I can understand that was a complete accident. But the second parent was not an accident. And that's why I'm a little
Killed her dad on purpose?
She saw where our powers were happening, and then he came in the room.
She panicked and freaked out.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it was.
She saw that blood was flying around. It was like, I know what's going on. I got it.
Yep. Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
I'd buy
it. Well, Pete, when your powers eventually show up, I'm assuming you're going to be more responsible.
I think your problem is she's not dating Harvey Kinkle and you're mad about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a huge issue. But also, like, I did like the part where they called her Amish. I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I like her. I really like Jazz St. Clair.
Me too.
Yeah, I think she's a good lead. I'm excited to see the rest of this cast fleshed out. Before we wrap up, any other notes, any other things about the episode you want to call out?
No, I think it was just a fun win. I look forward to seeing more of Super Saved by the Bell the College Years.
All right. As we always do with the boys, though, who was best boy this episode? I know it's not directly applicable since it's called Gen V, but who is the paragon of their generation? I don't know.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We could just say
capital V. Who's the capital V?
Yeah. Justin, who is the best boy this episode?
Oof. I mean, it was such a good ensemble to bring everyone together, but I think I got to give it up for Marie. Just like,
there you go.
Like, she's such the main character. We see a main character with very obvious flaws, struggles. Like, I love all that, and I'm ready to ride with her for the rest of this.
Pete, what about you? Who's best boy?
I was going to give it to the bong that was floating by. That was probably clearly the RA. But I'm going to go with Marie's roommate.
Emma,
yeah.
Yeah. What do you like about her in particular, Pete?
Well, I just think that she's the one that is most, as far as like innocent, as far as she hasn't done anything that's like horrible, as far as like murdered anybody or gone against her kind of what she's set up. So I'm pulling for her.
I will say the whiplash of going from her reading her YouTube comments and crying getting the text from Liam to the whole hookup scene.
That's every time we post a video. That's kind of like the emotional roller coaster I go through.
That's for you.
Yeah, wow. First time I've seen myself on screen. I am, I don't know, I'm going to give it up to Andre. I just really like Chaz Perdomo.
You loved, yeah.
I love him too, but I was a little upset.
We didn't get enough
scene where it's like, where they're trying to get him to do the ad for the energy drink, and he's like, I want to pour this on my dick if it caused cancer, or whatever the line is.
Cured cancer.
You wouldn't pour it on your dick if it caused cancer.
That's a good no. That's a good no.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Anyway, he's very funny.
The way you paused and said that makes me think you would do that.
Or have done it, or are doing it right now.
Are currently doing that.
I have a whole crate of Monster, and I'm trying out all the flavors. We'll see what happens.
My God.
I'll keep you guys posted on the episodes of this podcast.
No, that's a fun thing.
Fun.
If you'd like to support this podcast and my Monster Energy habit, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Gen V. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show.
What?
At Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, let's hear it for those college-age boys.
Are you throwing up Live Long and Prosper from
Gen V? Okay, that's Live Long and Prosper, though.
It's a V, though. It's still a V.